You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Chaos. Did that work? I don't know. We'll find out later. We're back! Episode 5. This is the only way to record shows. I don't want to do anything anymore unless it's 50 episodes in a week. You're never more in it. I realized it middle of last session when you were going on and on about the investigation. You were naming all the correct NPCs, naming all the exact locations. I'm like, yeah, because we just played it like moments ago.
Fresh in my head.
Why lose sanity points in the game when you could lose them in real life?
Yes. Going down the spiral together.
You have dabbled a little bit. I think you set it off air in some marathon gaming with our good friends at the Order of the Amber Die.
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember if I set it on air. Maybe if I didn't, I'll just reiterate here. Early on, we were talking about what this process is going to be like. It's intimidating to do this much at once. You know, it's going to be, a marathon in terms of your energy and keeping it up and all that kind of stuff and keeping it different every episode and fresh, et cetera. And I just wanted to let everybody know that, like, my only experience with marathon gaming, which seemed insane to me before I did it, after I finished, I was like, it's the only way to really play. It is exhausting, and sometimes you have to do extra work to get a coffee, get a Coke, get a caffeine, whatever. Do a little Coke, as Rob suggested, and, you know, just sort of get yourself up.
Said that on camera.
to keep going. But ultimately, what happens is you're so in it. Yeah, you remember all of the little details of the mystery. You remember all of the little jokes, you know, even just the fun stuff. You remember all, and it keeps, you know, weaving itself throughout. And it's, to me, yeah, it's an amazing way to play.
Is this the first time we're admitting to the audience that we're doing this in such a rapid
fire? I intimated that it's, in order to get this
it's
to happen.
It's kind of insane to think that we fly everybody out every week.
Yeah, once a week, we just flew you back and forth. but what's nice about this is having a little cocktail, a little Red Solo cocktail.
You fill me up.
Cheers.
Bad decisions.
Link that plastic.
Oh, this is the way to do it. Now it's a game. Now it's a game when you're kicking back, having some pops, and you had some Chinese beer, right?
I'm going thematic here with a little Tsing Tao.
Oh, yes.
Little Chinese lager here to kick us off.
She said, two bad decisions, but great dice rolls.
Yes, please.
Speaking of bad decisions, talk to me about last week's tarot reading.
Oh, man, you guys. It's the cards have been spot on every single time. And just to remind the audience, we drew the Two of Pentacles upside down, or reversed, as it should be said. I said upside down.
Okay.
Upside How could I ever forget? Yeah, I'll never know what you were talking about otherwise.
As everybody recalls. Mm-hmm. Now, this says, I'm going to read the right side up meaning and then followed by the reverse meaning.
Okay.
It is represented as a card of gaiety, recreation, and connections, which is the subject of the design. But it is read also as news and messages in writing.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Stop.
Such as obstacles, agitation, trouble, embroilment. Now, reversed, it is enforced gaiety, a.k.a. your dinner date.
Oh, enforced gaiety?
Shut
Simulated enjoyment.
What?
Oh, my God. And also the semen bar after.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Simulated enjoyment. And in the literal sense, handwriting, composition, letters of exchange.
Handwriting composition.
Again,
that is. We were at a newspaper.
Now it's creepy. We should burn Nora.
Clearly, she's in touch with ancient and unnameable forces. But I also just want to show, like, the artwork on this, per the research that we did. One of the last things that caught our eye in the very fruitful visit to the newspaper office, this little Harlequin-esque character is standing in front of a seascape where a ship is being tossed by a rogue wave.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even catch that.
Yes!
Yeah. Shut up!
Make it stop!
Make it stop!
So once again, the cards don't lie, and we gotta roll. We gotta pick again for this episode.
Cards don't lie. So Rob, have you picked a card yet? I don't think you've picked a card.
I don't think so.
I don't think you have. Let me shuffle.
It's time. You've been hiding behind your computer for too long.
I can get rid of this. This is just the...
The Joker.
The universal, basically. The universal weight.
Rules for stud poker.
What the hell?
Okay, Rob.
That is wild. That shuffling? Is creepy wild.
You tell me when to stop.
That is wild. That is the most specific one yet. That's amazing.
Now, do you want me to take the top card? Okay. It is the Four of Pentacles.
Hmm. Whoa.
Hey.
Okay.
Four articles in the newspaper.
Hold on. Did you jump in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have four
and
leads.
It was right side up or non-inverted.
This one's right side up, not reversed. So the Four of Pentacles.
Right side up. Four
we shall see.
How many pentacles in that deck? Deck stack with pentacles.
There's so many pentacles in
there's
that four, deck.
There's pentacles, there's swords, there's wands, and there's
all very
cups.
Genital.
And then there's the major arcana, like the empress, the emperor, the high, the
am I stupid?
Yes.
What is a pentacle?
So a
every other word you said I knew. Oh, it's a coin.
It's a coin.
Oh, yeah.
with the
pentagram on it.
Yeah.
Ah.
The 5-pointed star.
It's a demon worshipping coin.
It's a
coin.
It's the currency of demon worshippers.
Yeah.
Got it. You can spend those in hell.
But we'll keep that in mind as we jump into this next episode.
Luck.
Pentacles. Yep. Want to do some luck?
I'd love to do some luck. Little I spent a lot luck last roll. Week. I'd love to do some now.
Roll for Bant.
Roll for Bant.
Oh, I failed it.
Hey!
There we go.
D10. D10.
I just D10. Failed it.
D10. D10.
10!
Oh!
Yeah!
Get out of here!
Because look, you used luck 3 times last episode.
Yeah. You got almost all of it
hard,
back.
Hard.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
So hard.
I succeeded. Nothing coming my way. All good.
I gained 3, but I'll take it.
I got 6.
Nice. That's great.
I mean, you see, 2 episodes ago, it's kind of like just planting seeds, watering the garden, and then last ep, things started to explode.
Yep.
This ep.
A lot of die rolls.
You might want to stick around after the break because things are going to get hairy. We'll be right back.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
If you haven't tried Abercrombie denim yet, you're missing out. Denim should fit like this. It's all about proportions. Abercrombie has their classic fits and athletic fits for guys who want a little more room in the thigh. When you find your staple fit, it'll be the pair you reach for day after day for every plan. Shop Abercrombie denim in the app, online, and in store.
I spent all night on this presentation, and it still looks so boring.
Try Adobe Express. It's fast, with templates and AI features for stunning presentations, flyers, and socials.
Nice. Where do I start?
You can get it for free in your app store.
Adobe Express, the quick and easy create anything app. Free.
Welcome back to the All Denim Hour.
Yeah. Next topic, denim.
I missed that memo, but I do have the navy blue on.
That's navy right. blue, yep. Navy
blue jean boys are back again.
So much
to the Siemens Club.
We had a lot of reveals last episode, a lot of discoveries, but the one that seemed to really prickle your loins was Dr. Walsh. Maybe is not who he seems to be.
No, what prickled my pair or whatever you just said.
Loins.
Or loins. Thank you. That's better. More evocative. Was that it happened and then the recording ended and we never said anything.
Never
no one talked about it. We were too fucking caught up in all the fish people. And then we walked to the liquor store. Two of them. And
we went to two different liquor stores.
And didn't say shit the entire time. And then 5 minutes before we started recording, he's like, oh, wait.
We sit down and we're like, what, you motherfucker?
Nice try, so, son of a bitch.
Here we are.
So you're a spy.
God damn it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tricky thing. Your characters do not know, but the players do.
And we,
yeah,
I remember we rolled some sort of check on him.
We did roll a sus check. But
sus check.
We do this every time. We're like, you know what we shouldn't do? We shouldn't fucking talk to anybody and don't tell anybody shit. And the first person we meet, we're like, guess what we fucking
sucked him in.
Sit down and let me tell you everything, my friend.
When you were talking to Anthony, you were like, I think they might have had something to do with the thing. And I'm flashing back to us being like, when we burn those bodies to the ground or whatever. So you've known.
So casually being like, how comfortable are you with awesome?
So now it's weird because I don't know what you're not telling Anthony.
You're after
You've
embedded yourself in a cell of terrorists, basically.
Yeah, it's a very tricky
path
to navigate right here as players. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We got to kind of find a way for characters to figure stuff out or not figure stuff out.
Yeah, plus that's the whole thing. The players know.
I love it.
We just have to implicate you in all our crimes now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you couldn't walk back into the room and we couldn't suddenly be like, we do a psychology check on Joe after that conversation.
Right. Well, it was great, though, because he fumbled coming back in.
That was cool.
And it just led the narrative to be like, well, what's wrong with Dr. Walsh?
I love it. I love that Joe's character is like a early 20th century version of a John le Carré character. This is feeling to me a lot like the honorable schoolboy. My le Carré heads know where I'm coming from. And
get up.
But like, yeah, le Carré fans, stand up, baby.
Where my le Carré fans? Not these people.
I'm here.
It's
but in that way, like you're on the trail of your own little investigation. But of course, you're with people that are inevitably going to compromise you. And just like a le Carré character, your own shades of gray are going to constantly be in question.
Hold on, I'm not
and
Googling
and
him.
Just like a le Carré character, right? Not built. It's not Jason Bourne, right? No. It's not James Bond. Like, this is this person, whatever they are, whoever they are, just seems very unimposing. Seems like just any other person on the street. And that's what makes them good at what they do in a way, you know?
You're a clumsy, unassuming academic.
Well, he was originally based on the Indiana Jones guys, what you told me.
What was my first initial concept?
Yeah. And he's kind of Marcus Brody, right?
Marcus Brody.
Yeah, I was going to say Brody when you first stumbled your way up.
That was like what first gave me the idea. Mm-hmm. Was like, who would just be like a nice, and then the idea of it was actually reading up on Shanghai. It gave me the idea of spying, and being a spy placed in. Because I'm like, what is he doing in Shanghai? Yes, there's a Christian university there, but like, how do we make it interesting? How do we make him want to go with this new crew into very dangerous territory? Oh, he's a spy,
and also
and then Troy was like, they burned down this warehouse and killed people, and maybe somebody saw them or they were seen, and now the intelligence service is trying to track them.
I had a feeling some fuck shit was going to happen when I walked past you guys after lunch, and I hear like Troy and George being, and I'm like, I don't trust any of that. And I will.
Something fishy's going on.
I also love that Carter's like, let me show you how to lie to somebody. And you've been
always doing it.
You guys,
I can't wait till you like rehear first couple episodes. Because Vaughn talks about like, I've sized this guy up and he seems.
He's on the up and up.
On the up and up, exactly. And then you're talking about like, oh, do you know how to handle a gun? You know, and he's acting like he doesn't. I've invested in pistols and stuff.
All right.
You did your job. You got him wrapped around your finger. It's great. And soon we'll show you some truths.
Think you got the upper hand, pal?
Well, I mean, I think I don't want to say the investigation was broke wide open last week, but you really have opened up so many different lanes here. And it starts off with this sad little date with Ling,
Ling was the parent. Yes, well, poor, sorrowful Jing.
Poor Jing.
Jing, who's what she does for fun is sits in a room alone.
Eating cakes.
Eating cakes.
Sits in a room alone.
Her hobby is sitting alone in a room staring at an empty birdcage.
A couple days ago, while taking money from a customer, their hands brushed against each other.
Highlight of her year.
It's the only time she's been touched
since she came out of the birth canal.
Or overbearing mother.
Eating donuts for dinner.
if the fancy place.
If Vaughn gets out of this damn thing alive, and I'll try to. Who knows?
Make right.
Jing has made an impression on his sense of morality, let's say.
It was an interesting conversation, but at the end of the day, it seems like she understood this was going nowhere and saw an opportunity here that she took. Mm-hmm. You gave her some money and she told you there's a man, European man that comes around every once in a while, gives her coded messages she doesn't understand. She bakes it into the rice paper that goes onto these sweet cakes that she gives this regular customer that comes in every day. That man has not come in to give her these messages in a while. You then, our new friend, Dr. Walsh, have a meeting with Ho Fang at Ho Fang Import Export. You set up the appointment. He takes calls on a Saturday. This guy is a gentleman of business. He's a wheeler and a dealer. You get a walk through this warehouse. You see there's a lot going on here. 30 workers. Doesn't seem to be a lot of security. There is this weird door in the back of the room that's completely blocked by a chair. You're going up the stairs. There's this loose floorboard that seems to seem strange to you. You go up and around and you are taken to meet the Honorable Ho Fang, and he's an interesting guy, very charming, very delightful, offers you these aromatic, fancy, expensive cigarettes, some tea, and kind of just talks circles around you. Doesn't really tell you anything, doesn't really, he kind of prevaricates back and forth with you, but he's like, yeah, we can do business, perhaps.
What was that word?
Prevaricate?
I don't know that word.
I don't know. I looked right at Ross.
Yeah. Prevaricate. Yeah.
Speaker act in an
evasive way. Polysyllabic word comes out. You
That's
know
a great word. Well, when you question me, I'm like, wait, is that not the right word?
No, I've just never heard that. Yeah. Prevaricate?
Yeah.
Speak in an evasive way?
Yeah.
Well, great word.
Prevaricating. Yeah.
So I use it perfectly.
Yeah.
That's.
Did you glossary that shit?
No, I just.
Or you just knew that word from your life?
I know kung fu. I know prevaricate.
No useless words.
I'm getting a lot of sleep. The vocabulary is a lot better.
I loved it. I felt like this is Japanese, not Chinese, but I felt a little bit like what is this? Is it called Rising Sun, the Crichton novel? Rising Sun, Crichton the novel about Japanese business and stuff.
The one they made with the movie with Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery?
I think they made the movie with Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery, I believe.
Sure, was extremely culturally sensitive.
But in that book, there's a great deal of like how they do business. The Americans and the Japanese, mm-hmm. where there's this art to how you say nothing, but are always super gregarious and super open and super friendly. But like, you're not giving ever too much. You're always trying to keep the upper hand. Anyway, that's what it felt like. It's like two big personalities.
Yeah.
Huffing back and mm-hmm. forth. Neither really saying much of anything. One lying, the other one saying nothing. It was interesting.
Yeah. And to have you be the one that's taking this meeting when they've been hearing about Ho Fang Import Export now for going on 2 months. It was just an interesting way it all worked out.
Yeah.
You guys meet back up and you go to the Shanghai Courier, a friend of yours, a contact, Anthony Chang, the editor-in-chief.
A handler of sorts.
Some other business. He's like, yeah, go crazy in there.
A handler of sorts.
You look through these files. You can't really find anything. You're stumbling back and forth. And so you come right out and ask him, like, has there been any cult activity? And he says, I mean, there's a lot of dirty stuff going on in Shanghai right now. A lot of political unrest. A lot of people have gangs and militias. In terms of cults, I heard about an Order of the Bloated Woman, but like nobody takes it seriously. And then you say, okay. All right. What about any like really horrible crimes? Like really, we're talking nasty stuff. And he's like, well, it's funny you should mention that. There have been a series of gruesome deaths where people's arms were severed. That's been happening like two a month, but they're like poor, not very important people here. And so the police haven't tied the murders together or really even over investigated it. And then he said, well, there were also this series of break-ins that have been happening, where people are just getting like mauled to death in their homes. But again, the police aren't connecting anything. They don't think it's that important and they haven't taken the time to see any sort of connection there. Odd that you would mention that, maybe he says. Mm-hmm. And so you start looking through his files and four articles, jump out at you. One of which leads you to the Seaman's Club, this sort of naval club for mostly foreign naval officers that is now being temporarily shut down as a piece of it has seemingly collapsed into the river. You go look at it and you roll a 2 on a mechanical engineering roll to be like, there's no way. The article said there was seepage that caused this. There's no way seepage caused this. It must have been something else. Some drunks evidently said that there were sea people that came out of the sea and tore it down. Well, you go to a bar across the street that has now become the de facto home of all these naval drunks, and you see some of your British friends that you start talking with, and they're like, oh yes, you should talk with that guy over there. There was an American staying in the room that collapsed. I think his name was John Smith. And then you go talk to a local drunk, Wang Yong, a shirtless alcoholic, who says he, among other things, went out to urinate that night and saw fish people come out of the water and tear that building down. And you go then talk to this other man who worked at the Seaman's Club that says, yeah, the papers didn't report about this, but there was an American man named John Smith that was in that room. He either got out of there or he's at the bottom of the sea. And you show him a picture of Jack Brady and he's like, yeah, that's the guy.
That's John Smith.
John Smith.
Amazing.
Whoa.
Amazing. I forgot to do something last week that I'd like to ask for at this moment. Feel free to say no. After hearing the old man's, after hearing Mr. Huang's description of the fish people, is that a place where I could do an occultism role about people that may worship fish people or cults associated with fish people?
Oh, yeah.
From literally just written history about or people that are into that kind of thing?
So his is where it gets interesting. It really, if this is fish people, yes, you could do an occult role and you might find a little something, but it's going to be more connected to legend. This is where two things. You can do Cthulhu mythos to see if this is like a mythos creature, or any tome that you've done a complete reading of, you can roll against that tome. So you could roll against Africa's Dark Sex against the mythos rating of that tome. It's a very low chance, but you can use it to research specific items. And because you completed that, I can tell you right now that Africa's Dark Sects has, I believe, an 18 mythos rating. So it's an 18% chance.
Well, it's higher than my 5 mythos.
Of reading about fish people?
I'm going to roll my mythos, which is, you know, pretty high, but still pretty low.
I'm gonna roll that occultism. I don't think it'll tell me any actual information about the creatures themselves, but I would be interested in any historical accounts or cults that follow these.
Yeah.
I rolled a 93. So that would be no.
So you're looking through this
and
book.
And I'm pretty sure we cannot push these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ross, what'd you do?
I rolled a 90/6. Okay. So, yeah.
And Carter's going to do a natural world roll. Have I heard of fish on legs?
Okay.
Apart from the old evolution?
The old evolution, theory, as they call it?
Could I do an occult roll?
Yeah, you could do an occult roll as well. Did you roll a occult?
Yeah, I failed with an 82/7.
That was real close to a fumbalaya.
Fumbalruski.
You know, Fumbalino. I rolled a 75/62, so I will spend luck.
Wow.
On an occult roll. All right.
Wow, 13 luck.
You will.
Damn.
So this.
There are.
Get into it.
Fishy. It would be, in terms of stuff you've read, occult related, right? Because this really is meant for, if this exists, if there are fish people, this really is in the realm of Cthulhu mythos. But using a cult would talk about it, but it would talk about it more as like mythical stories.
Yes.
Whereas Cthulhu mythos is like,
yeah,
no, this shit's real, and here's what it is.
Here's their stat block.
Yeah.
Here's how to kill them.
You have heard, but read at some point about these legends of amphibian-like cultures that sometimes are insular societies, but some have also integrated with humans, either by force or by choice, to, you know, create these hybrid-type creatures that are part human, part fish.
And are these multiple cultures?
It is something that has been known world round. There have been sort of like rumors of sightings off the coast of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of people are just like, all right, crazy. All right, rummy. Keep talking about your fish people.
Now, remember in England, when we were towards the end of the season, we were in that like seaside community.
Yes.
And we went into that one place and all the people had like their eyes were starting to like...
Yeah, they were all like wide set people. Mm-hmm. They went to this bar and like everybody's sitting there. It's just like...
Yeah.
So terrifying. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'd like to point everybody's attention to the movie Dagon by Stuart Gordon. One of the best Cthulhu Lovecraftian film adapters. It's an amazing movie, and it's all fish people, baby.
Yeah, it's Shadow of Innsmouth.
Innsmouth.
It's like almost like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but with fish people. They just show up
in Spanish.
And no, they shot it in Italy or something like that, or Spain. But it's I think semi-American produced. It's all.
Yes, well, I've not heard of anything like that. But still, I've seen enough to where it does give one pause.
Yes.
I should mention while looking through Africa's Dark Sex. You also see a thank you to our sponsor, Chaosium.
Oddly what enough, the hell?
Stuck to the back of the book is a
cipher?
A code.
Oh.
Of some sort.
Code.
It almost looks like it's for 15% off.
Some eldritch.
All Call of Cthulhu items.
That can't be known.
What does it say? You have to make it up on the spot.
15% off. That's...
15% advantage on all purchases.
Yes.
That's 50% advantage.
That's supernatural.
Yes.
That's eldritch. That's cyclopean.
To even look at the letters and one number would drive one insane, but it appears to be a code TFC2. If you enter it at chaosium.com,
wow,
you too can get a 15% advantage.
The savings are maddening.
Don't enter TFC3. You'll die.
Yeah.
And when you open the book again, it's not there.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
Inscribe such strange cryptograms.
Did you remember the code? Did you write it down?
That's how fast these savings will go.
Please do this every episode. Yeah.
Just tuck it away.
This is how
I
you
love
do
the
it.
In-world
yes.
code.
Yes,
this is how they used to do commercials, I feel like, in the 50s and 60s on television. They would, like, hide shit in the show.
Yeah, this is the way rips open the code and holds it in her hand, and it vanishes into
yeah.
thin.
Yeah, we just see, Jing baking rice paper into a cake.
That says TFC2. What could it mean?
Adds it up.
It took us 45 episodes to figure out.
I know. Yeah, it's amazing. Chewman opens it up. I have to get online right now. Pieces out.
So much saving.
All right. These savings are us.
Nothing.
Yeah, no, we were talking about the fish people and just.
Fish people.
All right. Cool. So are we picking up in that exact moment? Of the
bar
of seeing Jack Brady's picture at the
what
bar,
are you doing?
Or do we feel like that's the end of that scene and we cut to something?
I feel like I've or
I feel like we're done with that scene.
I'm cool if we kind of like transport ourselves to
fast forward,
conking out that night or waking up the next day.
I had a couple other semen puns, but we'll save.
Oh sure. Time.
All right, so the next day would be Sunday, April 5th, according to my calendar here.
Sunday, April 5th.
Sunday, April, TFC 2.
Yeah, I'm nowhere to be found next to you in the morning because, of course, I'm going to Mass.
Right. He also said, I'll meet you guys back at Dr. Marion's.
No, I mean, maybe we talk about it on the way home. I'd mm-hmm. love to go.
Oh, well, of course. Of course. Yeah, perhaps you can guide me to...
Or we could use the campus chapel. They do services every Sunday morning, 9:15.
Wonderful. There's the Roman Rite service.
Yes, yes, of course.
Carter, what are you going to do? You going to sleep in? Or you want to go somewhere?
I wouldn't mind a nice brunch.
Get some bagels.
Yeah, or dim sum. I heard that's good.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Dim sum. Oh, let's do that.
Okay. I worship at a different altar.
The altar.
Before we leave, that morning, kind of like getting ready, Carter's, you know, waking up, and I think Marion will just be like, you sure you don't want to join?
Well, I think while you're seeing Carter wake up, it's the first time you're seeing the mask off.
Oh, yeah. He's always fallen asleep before you, right? Like you've always stayed up late.
So maybe Carter's back, so he's like on his side, and you're, okay, he starts to wake up, and then you're asking him that question, and he turns, he's like, what?
And he just kind of like looks away for a second, not meaning to. Catching himself and then looks back. Vaughn and I are going to
I'm sorry, man. Hold on. No, please. It's fine. He puts it on. What's going on?
May I ask what happened?
Yeah. This is a pretty standard story of a man getting kicked in the face by a horse of the woman who he's trying to con out of her life's fortunes. So
it's not a common story at all, Carter.
Does that not happen? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it was a thing. It happened.
You were kicked by a horse in the face.
In the face, yeah. Some might call it karma, I guess. Yeah, I have to live with this now.
Well, it's I said it about Vaughn, I'll say it about you. You're lucky to have survived. It was a very violent injury.
You know what's funny is that all this time I never actually thought about it that way.
Yes.
Huh.
Very glad you made it through that.
Yeah, whoa. All right, that's a little heavier than I was expecting to get. No, I'm not going to fucking church with you, though. Fuck that.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you after.
Yeah, we're going to go get some food.
Excellent. Enjoy your morning.
And as you guys are all talking, you find that Feyruz has been writing at a table. Yes, I'll be right there. Let's go. And as soon as when you guys take off, she says, Carter, I've been writing Margot a letter. Is there anything that you would like to add?
Nope.
All right. And so Margot...
We also don't know where we're sending it, so...
We don't? We don't know where
we don't know where she is.
She just left. You could send it back to Desmond.
I'll send it to Desmond to see if
he finds out where Margot is.
Yeah. Right.
But essentially, what the letter says is where we are approximately. So there's an address there, but she asks Margot specifically. She gives the name Marion Wesley Walsh. Please inquire if he is a member of the order. Urgent.
Oh yeah, that would.
And maybe she'll send it as a telegraph. I don't know how that
works. We have to send it to Desmond, right?
And then hopefully Desmond gets it. But I have to send it to Desmond.
You could certainly send it to through Mickey. You know, you've got a connection with Mickey,
yes.
and get it to Desmond. But yeah, that would be something you would.
Yeah, because
be paranoid about everyone you come in contact.
Everybody.
With.
So she does send that to Margot. If I can send it via telegraph. To Desmond, I will do that. But if I don't know how this works back then.
Let's just assume we can do it. Okay. Make life easier. Cut to interior of a campus chapel where we just pan across mostly Chinese faces until we see Vaughn and Dr. Walsh sitting next to each other. We hear the voice of a preacher speaking in English wearing... You know, priest robes.
Might be Latin.
Cross.
For this fucking pre-Vatican II shit. The fact that I even know that is...
Do it in Latin. Well, he says this in Latin. He says, no, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. Cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? He continues on.
Now we shall humble ourselves in the eyes of the Lord.
And Marion turns to look at Vaughn as he's talking to himself.
Yes. Strangely, it is by evil, by the palpable knowledge of evil, that I have been drawn into your bosom. Acrimosa, Dolores Santa Monica, whose tears wash your son, whose sorrows seek to make us sacred. Keep the knowledge of evil ever in my mind. That I might turn away from the darkness and keep my eye evermore towards the light, that the light may be kindled within the souls of my friends. that the light of your overwhelming kindness may break through the cloud of unknowing and kindle a sacred fire to illuminate the darkness in the hearts of Margot Sauer, Feru Shabron, Carter Tillinghast, Marion Walsh, and Desmond Mahoney, who in his fallen state has turned away from you. Even those who turn away from you, Lord, I know you empty the cup of your grace upon them. For they struggle against evil. And this in itself is a kind of prayer. I ask this humbly, through your intercessing saint, Santa Monica, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As we walk from the church, walking back home, silent for maybe a bit, and then Walsh breaks the silence, turning to Vaughn. And Vaughn, I don't know if I said it before properly. You see, when I meet men who served in France in the front lines, I tend to feel a deep well of guilt that I wasn't there. Though my service was elsewhere, I felt as if the horrors faced there were unimaginable. And I just wish to thank you for what you sacrificed.
Don't thank me. Oh, boy. Rest assured that, yes, I feel the weight of that guilt. The guilt is not for anything that I did there. I did my duty as meagerly as my powers could. So did we all. I do not feel guilt for what I did there. If anything, I feel guilt because I returned.
Well, certainly I cannot tell you how to feel. But I assure you, we would not have a kingdom to protect, a home to return to, a place for our families to live in relative peace, without your sacrifice.
Yes, the evil one moves in the heart of the Kaiser. The slaughters in Belgium, in all our hearts. In this fallen world, he has laid claim to all of us.
Yes.
It is only through the power of grace and mercy that we can hope to experience some measure of forgiveness. Even in speaking these things, I am out of my depth. We are all doomed to be out of our depth when speaking of such holy matters. But as for... Yes, I did feel comfort being welcomed back into the bosom of Albion. You never met Margot Sauer. But I've thought many times. Had the accident of Providence made Margot Sauer... Ah, a light? Ah, see, well, most aromatic.
Right. Carter's very generous.
Yes.
I'm getting the hang of it.
We must prove faithful stewards of his bounty, and the tobacco leaf is one of his finest creations.
Yes.
But I often think that if, by some trick of providence, Margot Sauer had been born Marcus Sauer, then I would have shot him in 1915.
Oh, yes.
It is the tricks of some evil providence that made us all go mad. Made us all turn murderer.
To me, the boys on the fronts of both of those lines had no quarrel with each other.
No. No. It has only been since I saw the madness of evil run amok, senseless, brutal, wretched, foolish, stupid, ghastly. But it has only been since then that I have looked into the face of evil. I meant what I pray. It is through the knowledge of evil, real evil, that I have become aware of the presence of the divine. The black and bleak darkness that I have seen makes the light that shines in the bosoms of the merciful shine all the brighter as it is set out in relief against such darkness.
Vaughn, are you sure you don't want to pursue a new act in your life as a preacher? You are so inspiring.
I am too great a sinner for that vocation.
Yes, make no mistake, though. They all are. Every last one of them. Vaughn, I'm going to ask you something. Something that may sound a bit strange. But I don't know how else to phrase it. What you faced, the evils that all of you have come up against, seem so otherworldly. And I will be honest, I struggled to believe you. But I am doing my best. I'm trying. For it is not only you, it is not just one account, there are many. But we cannot forget the very real consequences, the very real threats that exist in our very physical world, our very natural one. So when I ask this, I don't want you to misunderstand it, or, well, all I can say is I'm looking out for your best benefit. These guards that were killed in your fire, this was an accident, yes? They were not intended to be murdered.
You must know, sir, that I was not present. I was convalescing during my compatriot's little fiery escapade. My friends are not murderers, sir.
And that is what I believe, truly. Do you know? You were not there, I'm sure. It is hard to speak on it. Could I talk to Carter or Feyruz about such a thing? Could they perhaps prove that these guards were in fact cultists? Is it provable?
I scarcely know. This is the curious way that these occult powers seem to work. They need not have any in their thrall. They seem to seduce most powerfully those who are already rich in influence, coin, title, potency. God. Starting to sound rather like that Irish chap, but they've already been seduced by mammon. I don't know if these guards are cultists per se, but they are in the employ of them. Of that I'm certain.
And there's no telling how high the corruption goes.
No.
Who you can trust.
No, so I take comfort in meeting someone so worthy of trust as yourself. Someone I know who is, just by virtue of being a brother in Christ, is a virtuous and truthful soul.
God damn it, Rob. Stop. Doing great.
Yeah. I think that's hard.
You're doing great.
I'm gonna roll a quick perception that is wordless, where he's trying to not react in any kind of or show any kind of guilt.
Great. I'll roll psychology statement to oppose it.
Perception. So do you oppose roll, or is it based on my...
You can do an opposed roll if it feels like the
Or if you just
are...
want to see how you have self-control to the point of rising to my regular perception.
Yeah, there's no actual perception check, I don't think.
Yeah, well, so what are you trying to do here? You're trying to hide. You're trying not to break.
I feel this swell of feeling like I almost want to tell him.
Yeah.
Like, what's your psychology skill?
Very low. 14.
Okay.
Roll a guilt check.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a regular success and you can hold back.
Yeah, that may be why I was so quick to trust you. I see people the way I want to see them, maybe a little.
Yeah.
The skill is so low that, like, he's trusting.
Okay.
If we were to fail this, you might blurt it out.
I do not think there is any duplicity in you, sir.
Okay. It is a failure. But it is close enough that it might be worth spending luck on. I'm just trying to decide. It's the kind of thing I want to do right here. God. This is hard. This is hard.
You gonna lie to Ross, bro? Look at that face.
No.
Shit. I'm going to go with the dice and not alter them and have them tell the story here, because I truly don't know what to do from a story standpoint. I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
But you see him visibly sort of, you know, react to that with a...
Okay.
Like he almost wants to say something and then holds back and just, you know, puts out his cigarette and like, we've kept them waiting too long. Perhaps we should get going.
Yes, I suppose we should. Might add, Mr. Walsh, that one of the things I find most comforting about the Roman rites is that if one feels burdened in one's soul, I find confession to be a balm.
Oh, God, you're good.
He's good. He's good. He stops for a moment. He says, Von, my fellow countrymen, I feel like I must tell you something. And it is hard.
Mm.
I want you to take it in the spirit in which it is meant, and that is the spirit of loyalty, the spirit of doing whatever we can to avoid another war, another situation such as we faced in 1914.
Yes.
15, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
Dr. Walsh! It's Dr. Cartwright, the dean.
Oh, shit.
What and are you doing here on a Sunday?
And I'm just quizzically like,
that's Dr. Cartwright.
Loaded.
Dr. Cartwright.
What? You have got to take a break.
No, please. I did. I'm getting my spirit refilled here at our chapel. Please, meet a friend of mine, a fellow academic in search of, the mysteries of theology. This is Von Villiers, a friend of mine I met in London.
What was it again?
Pleasure to meet you, Dr. Cartwright. I'm the dean here.
Cartwright. Ah, there's a good handshake.
You like that.
I've lately gotten used to... It doesn't matter.
Yes, I'm a guitar player. Notoriously strong handshakes.
I know a jammo, and I see only a god. My God, your right wrist is incredibly stout.
Yes, work it out every day.
I met one. I sit in London. I met on the boat from London. We met on our way here.
This guy's a workaholic. He's supposed to be on sabbatical.
Please. The pot.
He can't take a break. I tell him, he's always busy. He's doing a million different things. Importers, exporters, everything.
Dean all the way in Shanghai. Were you at Eton?
No. I'm busy right now. Anyway, it's good to see you. Why don't you go? Take a break. Take him to the beach. Is there a beach here? You should go.
Yes, you're right. We'll be on our way. Pleasure to see you, Dr. Cartwright. Perhaps we'll talk next week.
I'll be around, but enjoy yourself. And Mr. Villiers?
Villiers, yes.
Pleasure to meet you. Enjoy our lovely campus. There's more than just the church here.
Oh, yes. We're enjoying the comfortable accommodations of your esteemed professor here.
Oh, good. All right. Well, have a great day. And he leaves.
Good day. And I think that he takes that as a sign and a break to just be like, forget it. We'll speak later.
Yes.
And we head back.
You head back. Meet up with the others.
Yes, and as you peel out and walk away.
That was amazing.
This quiz just this is fun, like...
Mm-hmm.
Watching you a little bit more closely.
You guys meet back up. It's Sunday. Not everything's going to be open, but some things will be. You've got a a ton of leads here. I don't know where you want to go. You want to keep doing newspaper clippings? You want to
break into the whole thing?
You want to do at night? What do you want to do during the day?
I feel like, I mean, there is also something that
we can go get a our fates read to us.
This is sort of my top thing.
I would love.
I also think that it might be a good Sunday thing.
Yes.
Right? Because they're probably servicing folks that have the day off, right?
Yeah.
And then second, I think, should this not result in immediate spiritual death?
Yeah.
We maybe tonight we try to break into the warehouse. Sunday night seems like a great
Sunday
time.
Night, yeah. Break in. Perfect.
Love also,
you can also split up.
I was going to say,
there's danger in that. You know,
I think we should all go to this. I'll say that much.
100%.
As far as the warehouse goes, I am really interested, I think, in not doing that personally and letting Carter do it.
I totally will. Because I think that's a Carter and Carter took the lead.
Yeah, because I feel like he's, that is not his vibe, Marion's vibe. He could fuck it all up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Between the library use, the locksmith, and like the just Faerus' firearms, I think we got a good.
And my nunchucks.
Second and story your nunchucks.
Let us not forget.
Nunchucks!
So yes, perhaps we'll keep a lookout. Although just like turning over in Vaughn's kind of, it's not paranoid, it's realistic mind. Just the, it's a dock, it's a pier, of course there's boats coming, people would come in from the water. But the idea, just this idea of fish people is now in his head. And the idea of an easy ingress, a back ingress from the water. As though it was built for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for merchant trade, but for something subaquatic.
Don't forget, Carter is your backdoor man.
Yes.
God damn it.
Well, the backdoor man.
God damn known backdoor man.
But yes, we come and interrupt your dumpling feast.
Yeah.
And
I fucking burnt my entire tongue on the soup dumpling, dude. It was, oh my God.
20 dumplings deep.
Do you think, I don't know, do we have time for a little aside?
Yes. Okay.
Oh, great. Moseying back.
Yeah.
What do? Drink the? I think you got
to
bite it first.
I think you have to poke it.
Yep.
And then you sip the soup. And then you. I have burned my tongue several times.
It's so delicious, though. I can't stop.
Oh,
burning
my God.
My
I can't stop eating them. can I ask you why you didn't want to ask? Why you didn't want to write Margot? Are you still sour that Margot had left you?
Poor choice of words.
Just a note.
Given her last name. I don't have anything to say.
That's
to her right now. I don't know.
That's fair. To be honest, finding out all this from this last letter she sent, it seems that there's a lot more that she knows about the Order than I do, and it's all made me feel rather suspicious. But feeling this paranoia.
Well, I mean, you. And I'm sorry that I made it a lot about me lately.
No,
but
no.
I feel like we haven't really, like.
You had a whole thing going.
No, yeah. And I feel like we didn't really talk about, like. You guys never really. You guys had this thing about the Order, and sometimes you seemed to know what each other were talking about. Sometimes you didn't know what each other were talking about. I don't know if you ever told us. What this thing even is.
Well, I was very honest with you about what I did tell you. It seemed to be a society in search with a thirst for knowledge, which obviously pulled at my heartstrings. I was immediately drawn to it. My father was involved in it. Still is involved in it. You know me, I want to know everything.
Sure.
And sometimes to my detriment and to the detriment of others, but I came in as an initiate and I thought that somehow if I was in a space where seeking knowledge was rewarded, that I could maybe find out more about my mother and maybe find out more about myself and why I'm here and just to be honest, Carter, I've been struggling before all of this with finding meaning in my life. I knew I didn't want the role of a mother and caregiver. While that's fine for others, I don't mean any disrespect, but I knew it wasn't for me. And I knew that all I wanted was to find answers, not just for my life, but for the meaning of everything. Why are we here? Why are these things now that exist that we know of? Why is it here? And when I found out about this order, I thought that finally there's a space where I won't be judged for wanting this for me. And finding others who would support me in this. I was never good at making friends. I was never one to date and find love and all the things that you're supposed to do as a young woman. I just wanted answers. And I'm finally here, and I'm finally in this space, and I initially was suspicious when I found out about Margot, but then immediately I felt such a relief and camaraderie. Finally, somebody who must understand me. And now, I know I want to, in from the bottom of my heart, I want to trust and believe everything that Margot has said and everything that she has done, because she's a part of us. And now she sends this letter that says that you and Vaughn, you know, you still have hope, but that there's no hope for me. What does that mean? That there's no hope for me left?
I don't know. I wish.
What does she know? Why hasn't she shared it with me?
I don't know. I mean, I've got to admit that it's obviously this whole situation has thrown who I thought this person was. Kind of topsy-turvy. You know, I think we've all been our own way. We keep wanting these things that we can't have.
I've never asked you, Carter, what is it that you want? What is it that you need from the... Why are you... I know that for me... That my drive for seeking knowledge and everything leads me to where we are. But what is it that you want?
I think that when we first got together in Peru, I wanted money. I wanted whatever treasure we could find, whatever was promised to us by Larkin and his bullshit. And after that, I don't know, I looked at the world completely differently. And at that point, I think it wasn't immediate, but after that, I think what I wanted was to become a good person. For the first time. And I realized that the more time I spent around you guys, the more I thought that was maybe possible. And we're up against all this crazy shit. And if we can make some small dent in whatever these people are trying to do, then maybe I'll get what I want.
Maybe the fates have brought us together to do some good in this world.
We'll see. Ah, fuck! God,
it happens every time!
Julia, that's the voice of Tillinghast right there. Hello, old boy.
Oh, what's up, guy? Jesus Christ. I thought it would get cooler, but it's gotten hotter.
You see, Walsh, if you ever lose Tillinghast in a crowd, just wait for the gales of profanity and you'll be able
to. You're hot in my mouth! It's so hot!
You let us right to you, like the North Star.
Yes.
Oh.
But he kind of, like, right as you guys are walking up, he, like, gives Feyruz, like, a little nod. What's up? How'd you guys do? Are you guys saved or what? Did you eat the shitty bread?
Oh, God.
Did you?
Well, one never knows, old boy. One never knows.
Yes. Good for the spirit, good for the soul. Carter, you should try it sometime.
You should try some dumplings.
Yes. Well, since we've...
please, may I? I am famished.
Yes, don't mind if I do.
It seems just expertly eat a soup dumpling, like you know exactly how to like dismantle it.
Vaughn tries to use chopsticks and just like, ping, one goes across the room.
Wilhelm scream.
Well, it seems we've both been sort of ascending to the sublime in our own way. Since we have been in the sublime, perhaps it's time to delve into the ridiculous and go to visit an astrologer.
Well,
that's good.
No, I had it.
Rapping shit.
Our friends at Sirenscape.
Oh, they got it. Nice.
Yeah, they got it. They got it. Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, only that I suppose it's time to go and see this star reader.
I mean, that's truly, what we're after. Could you not have a more ironic plan after taking in the holy priest's sermon today?
Indeed. Well,
then to head out immediately to old Mr. Lungs.
Yes, and so-called sorcerer supreme.
Yes, exactly, and see an astrologer.
There's nothing more ridiculous than a guy turning water into wine and multiplying fish into a million fish. But you're right, this is kooky, what we're about to go check out.
Yes.
How fortuitous.
And just like no laugh.
Yeah.
Just like stares for a moment.
Yeah. What perfect like, timing and how fortuitous that we are to seek this fortune teller before the rest of our endeavors in seeking out these other leads.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, because after all, Feyruz, worry not that evil rivals seem to possess secret knowledge that you lack. The answer is in the stars. Though I'm telling you, I laugh and I joke, but there does seem to be something drawing me to this Mr. Lung. I don't know. Sponsoring the courier and using so much word and language that is that comes throughout Elias's books. I don't know. I feel like we give it a shot.
I have to tell you, Dr. Walsh, we have been in the presence of a medium before. And do not discount the knowledge that they have. We've seen it with our own eyes.
Yes. But a medium is one thing, darling. The exposure to the presence of the dead who never truly die. But a stargazer? I mean...
One should never be so close-minded.
Yes.
Sorry. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Us least of all, I suppose.
The knowledge that we have within us was once unknown to us. Everything. And so we cannot discount this man.
Too right. I'll do my best to keep an open mind.
Vaughn, are you going to be okay in this situation? The medium that we saw last time might have spoken to us in a voice that wasn't her own and then burst into flint.
Yes.
But that was the last time... That you...
Sorry, did you say burst into
flame? We'll get
flame?
To you in a second. Christ, there's so many fucking questions with
Not
you all the time.
Not everything is about you.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
And he just eats a dumpling.
Yeah.
Eat your perfect dumplings.
That was the last thing that kind of tipped you.
Potter does make a good point. Will you be all right?
I'm not saying this to judge you. I'm asking legitimately,
it just
are you okay
could be
to
triggering.
Come
What do you want me to... Would you like me to wait outside?
No,
I've
not
come
at all.
This far.
If you want to,
oh, no,
surely I can.
Not at all.
Surely I can sit at the table of some dime store charlatan.
And sort of what you said about the last person.
Feyruz takes Vaughn's hand and kind of squeezes it a little, and gives him like a knowing look and says, "I know you'll be all right."
Yes.
And if you need to take some time, that's fine. But I'll leave that entirely up to you. We were just... It's out of love for you and your predicament.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. I guess it's not a... Forgive me. Of course, I'm quite all right. Let's,
This could all be bunk. I'm just saying, keep an open mind.
Could be. Well, let's see how... Just how right the stars are. First, I suppose I'll... Just try to...
God damn it!
Do a fork in this bloody place!
We just close in on this little article, Stars Are Right, and we crossfade out of there to a 3-story building and we'll be back right after this break.
From the creators of the Leviathan Chronicles comes a new audio adventure. Join treasure hunters Captain Jeffrey Tully and Oberlin St. Clair as they build their dream research ship, the Invenios, and assemble a daring crew. But soon, their adventures plunge them into a globe-spanning conspiracy with hidden ties to Leviathan and visitors from beyond this world. The Invenios Expeditions, the newest series from Leviathan Audio Productions, available now wherever you listen to podcasts.
How does love work exactly? What makes something funny? How does noise affect your health? These are just a sample of the fascinating topics we discuss on my podcast, Something You Should Know. We bring you leading experts on topics important to you, things you can use in your life and that will fascinate you. We deliver 3 episodes a week and have over 1,000 episodes available to listen. So get listening to Something You Should Know wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear the most popular fiction podcast of all time, which the New York Times described as what might occur if David Lynch was a producer at your local radio station. Welcome to Night Vale is a twice monthly update from a small desert town where the paranormal is real, every conspiracy theory is true, and we all have to get on with our lives anyway. Welcome to Night Vale is available wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you again.
Look at us, huh?
Huh?
Yeah.
It's only a face I've seen for many hours.
We'll continue to see.
Yeah. Cheers. Astrology vibe.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
Good buddy, Rob.
Yep.
Good buddy, Ross. Good buddy, Nora. Right.
We're almost at the quarter mark of
Five
season.
Of Cups. Here comes.
Unless this is a 30-up season. Who knows?
Well, we are holding 4 of Cups right now.
Mm-hmm.
Four of Cups.
It's 4 of Pentacles.
I'm the King of Swords.
4 of Pentacles, King of Swords. But we're not talking about that stuff now. We're talking about like Libras and Aquarius and Pisces and whatnot.
Yeah, I know. It's time to go get a reading.
Very interesting.
Astrologer.
Find out if there's any money in my future.
You approach a small 3-story building on the north bank of the, yet again, the Wang Pu River. And this is also on Kaoyang Street. In fact, it's 2 blocks east of Hofang's warehouse, which you are kind of pseudo planning to break into later tonight.
I got another eye on that building.
Couldn't be more convenient. The address on the little flyer says floor 1. And as you approach, you realize, oh, okay, there must be like 3 apartments in this building. And Mr. Lung's apartment is on the first floor and 2 other people are above. Does he own the building? You don't know. But looking at it, you're like, oh, okay, there's 2 entrances. 1 entrance gets to other apartments in the building. And then there's the main entrance.
Can I do a brief aside? Just a quick question, please. Completely out of character and not apropos of the campaign at all. This is something that really, really bothers me about apartment buildings. Ground floor and floor 1 being the second floor.
Oh, that makes no sense.
Yeah,
it drives me insane, and I've had to deal with it in games. Like, if I've run games where apartment buildings are ground floor, first floor, and that's the second floor, and it's confusing to the players, and it's also confusing in real life. I'm like, why? Just, if you want to call ground floor, fine, but then it's the second floor.
The worst is hotels when it's like 1GL and one of them has the star. Is and garage.
Can I tell you, when I, living in Korea, the 4th floor is, they always skip over 4 and it goes straight to 5 because 4, in the when they use the Chinese characters, is very similar or the same to the character for death.
Yeah.
And so there's never a 4th floor.
Ah, interesting.
So always goes straight.
Always skips right.
Yeah. The same as there's no 13th.
13th.
Yeah.
In a lot of places.
Only because I did this, I challenge you to do the math and figure out figure out Carter's birth year and then what your Chinese zodiac sign is.
Oh,
that's fun.
What?
I can tell you that Von Villiers, born in 1893, was born in the year of the goat.
The year of the goat.
Greatest of all time.
Okay,
very interesting. It's 1925 now. Well, I also need to know my birthday, which I don't know.
I'm going to make it my own birthday, but just the different year.
How do you randomly roll on your birthday? Right, here we go.
1925 is the year of the ox.
What age are you and then subtract it from
25? I'm going to do a 12-sided, a 20-sided, and a 10-sided. There we go. That's easy enough.
His birthday is February 11th.
Oh, right, because you need the
actual... Oh, what year?
That's what I got to do the math.
Oh, I got to wait. What did you just do, Joe?
I did a 12-sided, a 20-sided, and a 10-sided.
All right.
Of course, you could never be born then on the 31st.
Sure.
So if you wanted to roll like a 1d2 in addition or something.
Okay.
Fun fact: I know what my there's like a Chinese zodiac of like what your what year you were born in, but there's also a five element.
Mm-hmm.
And I did mine once, and I am a yang metal white tiger.
Oh, awesome.
And the difference between a yin, because there's yin and yang, yin metal is like something of beauty, like something like jewelry. So yin metal is something like jewelry, something pretty. But yang metal is like a sword, something forged with like hardship, but then something becomes very strong. So yeah, my personal one is a yang metal white tiger.
Nice.
I think it's pretty
that's
badass.
Awesome. Tiger.
What year was Vaughn born?
1893.
And so that would make, that would make Marion 11 years older. So he's born in 1882.
1882.
February 11th, 1882.
Carver was born the day after Christmas, 1882.
We're the same age?
Yeah.
1882.
You're the horse.
You're the years of the horse. You're the horse.
We're the horse?
Wait, this is saying,
horse.
This is saying on the side of the dog.
You were kicked in the face by a horse.
No, wait. This is saying someone born on December 26th, 1882 would be under the Chinese zodiac sign of the dog.
Oh, different New Year's.
Oh, different New Year's. That's why, yeah.
Oh, Carter's a dog.
Dog. You're such a dog.
Scrap me,
we want dogs.
Wait, so am I the horse then, definitely?
I suppose, perhaps.
So, Feyruz, if I'm taking my own month and day, but the different year, she would be born year of the rooster.
Nice.
Just the year of the year of the cock. I think I'm Ross is the that, that's
just,
how it would.
No, just
thank you.
I'm sorry.
Ross,
for,
you know what? You are always gross all the time.
Inappropriate.
You never keep
inappropriate.
It classy.
This is only because like the highly Americanized Chinese restaurant that I went to as a small kid, where like the Chinese zodiac was on their paper menus.
Oh yeah.
Same
in the Northeast. It's the only way you knew anything.
Where like that's how it was rendered on those menus. Yep. Was the year of the cock.
And year of the cock.
Oh, they.
Long live cock.
A likely story.
The door of this first floor apartment.
Oh, right.
Is painted red.
Good luck.
And as you approach from the smell, it appears to have been freshly painted. There are also two wooden plaques, each approximately 8 inches long by 1 inch wide, one on either side of the door at around head height, and they are covered in symbols that appear to be Chinese script. What do you do?
Ding dong!
Yeah, walk right in.
I imagine there's like a bell.
Sorry, let me just quick before we go. On here. This site.
Are you reading about the horse?
I'm not getting the dog situation.
What do you mean?
All right, so this says...
I've consulted Google AI, and there's nothing more reliable.
This says you are year of the horse. I rolled, said my birthday was February 11th. This says the year of the horse started February 18th. Get this. That would make me the end of the year before, the year of the snake.
Nice. That's this year.
It's currently the year of the snake.
Is it really currently the year of the snake? Get out of here. Amazing.
The snake, the
horse.
Am
I a horse or am I a dog?
According to this, you're a horse because then it goes to goat in February 8th, 1883.
That's a Rob Kirkovich's.
You're a goat?
I'm goat.
I think I'm...
Stubborn, peace-loving, kind, popular.
That's me to a T.
Red door, two plaques.
Hold on, Troy. No. I'm just looking at the tiny study. It's fine.
There's
no doorbell. So what do you want to do?
Just walk in if possible.
Yeah. Open the door?
It says no appointments necessary on the little flyer, right?
No appointments necessary. You go to open the door. The door is locked.
Knock, knock, knock.
You knock on the door. And no one answers. Let me give you a listen roll.
It just struck me that the flyer talks...
You think they'd want to do business?
It just struck me also that the flyer mentions, like, opposing dark forces in your life. Like, if this
rolls?
Is someone set against dark forces, has something happened to them as well?
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah,
I failed my listen roll.
I failed.
I succeeded.
Oh, I am going to spend luck, and I succeed. Spending 5 luck, regular success.
You might not have to if I succeed.
Oh.
So you know.
I'm going to save that unless luck, or do you want to be a part of this game?
I'd like to participate in the gameplay.
Okay.
So I'm going to spend the luck.
Let's go to the map.
Oh, okay.
The fact that this is a map instantly makes me nervous.
Yep. I don't like looks these like little
Rob,
icons.
Looks like Rob was right. We are all going
left,
to die.
I got a broken arm.
Yeah, I don't know what those are, but I like them.
No, I don't like mine.
I also like using maps as much as humanly possible. All right, so did you end up using that luck or no?
I did. I'd like to participate.
Okay, fortune favors the bold. Both of you, upon
get not down!
Hearing boom, your successful listen roll suggests to you that someone is inside of the apartment.
Cool.
You hear shuffling. Maybe they didn't hear you knock.
Do they sound like fish footprints?
No.
Wait.
You just get the sense.
Wait.
Yes? Do you hear that?
No.
Doesn't sound like anyone's there, old man.
Someone is in there. They're avoiding us.
Can I, with that
hello?
Said...
Wait a minute. What makes you think they're avoiding us? We just know someone's behind the door.
Maybe
isn't
they
what
just
we
didn't
want?
Hear us.
Yeah, so say, hello. Knock a little harder.
You knock again, and as you knock again, you knock the door open.
Oh.
The door opens, and you are greeted by a small, middle-aged Chinese man dressed in an embroidered purple silk robe with a matching round cap. And he looks at you.
Oh, so sorry.
He has like a surprised look on his face. May I help you?
Oh, your notice.
Didn't mean to intrude, and I just hold up the sign.
Are you Mr. Lung, the astrologer?
Yes. You are here for a reading.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive us for the late hour, old man. It's just that the flyer you posted said no appointment necessary.
No, so it's the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday.
Yes.
Are you not
drinking?
Open?
It's not late, Vaughn.
Oh, it's not that late.
Yeah, no, it's like you guys went to
pretty
church.
Midday.
You ate some dumplings. Yeah. Probably like 1:32.
Sorry, I was referring to my current hour.
It's late hour for Ross.
No, lift the veil a bit.
No, yes, in the middle of the afternoon. It's not too late for have a little bit of it. And no, sir, I've not been drinking.
I have.
Reading. Please come in. And he steps in and he says, right this way. And you can enter his house.
Okay. I'm sorry, just because, again, paranoia has turned up more than for a normal person, perhaps. Just the vibe of the person who's answered the door. Does his flustered nature appear to be like the fluster of someone who is just like, one of these?
Not expecting
like,
customers on a Sunday?
Or like, you've interrupted me during my horrible
jam
sacrifice.
My jam session.
If you know what I mean.
Have you know?
I was just wrapping up. What else am I supposed
Sunday afternoon
jam?
I
was just masturbating on Zoom.
What?
What the hell are you talking about, John?
Early enough, I can jam again later this evening.
Yeah. You give it enough time. You can keep jamming.
Just making a little strawberry jam.
Oh, no.
Well, that's something you should go to a doctor.
You should see a doctor. I guess, so, looks like Dr. Walsh...
How many semen clubs?
...pumped his way right in. The rest of you are just doing a psychology. Carter, next to you, there's like a little Siamese cat that was like scratching at the door as you went up. And it, as the door opens, it like scuttles in. He's like, oh!
Goes into the apartment?
Yes, the Siamese cat. He's like, cat. He tries to grab it.
Is that not your cat?
That's just the cat distribution system choosing you.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Please come in. Come in. What'd you roll for psychology?
Oh. Are we all rolling? Or
I'm not going to roll it. I'm just trusting this guy walking his establishment.
I don't think I...
Faruz is always kind of suspicious.
No dice.
Nope.
Okay.
I think I don't necessarily trust this guy yet, but that's only because of Vaughn's natural skepticism to astrology as an art form generally.
Oh, yeah, and Carter definitely doesn't trust... I mean, the coincidences of, like, the mask being mentioned in the thing, like, he's starting to connect dots.
Peer behind the mask.
Uh-huh. The masks.
Well, and also the many masks we've encountered that have had horrible properties.
Yes.
Yes, terribly sorry about the cat, old man. I'm shocked you didn't see it coming.
It's all right. Please, come in.
Yes.
That was good.
Yeah, it was good.
He asked you to come in, and you can move. You should be able to move your pawns into the thing, but stay there.
I don't
in that
see
entrance.
Him at all.
I didn't put him on there.
Okay, great.
But put your people in there if you can. And in this little entrance hall here, there are charms and amulets depicting little animals hanging like right inside the door. They look like they're made of bronze or peach wood. Maybe he sees you looking at one of them. Dr. Walsh, and he says, yes, you've taken an interest in my amulets. Please, you can touch them.
Oh, yes, they're rather beautiful. Where are they from?
He
starts touching them.
He looks, he's like, I've collected them over time. They had significance to me.
All over the world or point of a around China?
China, mostly China. Yes, I feel you are all welcome to touch them.
Vaughn, this is the one that kind of looks like the one that you got in Peru.
Yes, does it? Is there a plump little...
What did you get in Peru again?
I got a plump little golden effigy from the pyramid.
Oh, yeah, this is... These
in my
are
head,
like,
it's like the Willendorf Venus or something. Just
yeah, Carter doesn't necessarily have to be right about this.
Is any one of them like silver with like an emerald?
No. Give me an occult roll. You have a cult. If there's any sort of occult significance.
I'll definitely roll a cult.
Because we were told of some artifacts that were missing from and the physical descriptions.
These just look like little cheap, cheerful artifacts. Guess, nothing like yours, I think, had a little dark undertone. These are little animals.
I rolled a 16 under 62. That is a hard success.
Hard success.
I can spend to make it an extreme.
Save it. I don't think you need it. You just get the sense that this is like a superstitious little charms meant to ward off evil spirits. Having it at the entrance of a doorway.
Gotcha.
Pretty and calm. I succeeded as well.
Yeah.
So same vibe.
Same vibe, yep.
Okay.
Anyway, hi, Carter Tillinghast. I'm a horse dog, I found out, and I want to introduce you to our group here. We're looking for a reading, if possible.
Yes. Please, right this way. And he leads you... like past these screens into the main room. And as he walks ahead, you know, the screens and the furniture are positioned in ways that seem very strange to you, but also very purposeful. Like it's almost like you've got to walk through a little maze to get to the next part of his house. Mm. So you navigate these turns as he escorts you. Yes, please come right this way. Rolling over that occult roll, I'll tell you that this, especially for... I'll give it to you where you rolled the hard success. This seems to be, you know, feng shui. Feng shui also meant to ward off spirits, you know, because spirits can't walk in
These are screens
lines.
Then, sort of, that were...
Yeah,
there was like a water fixture by the door.
Yeah, and you can see it here on the map if you're walking through. I'll move Feyruz a little bit. There are these screens that are kind of... provide it blocks off the rest of the room, so you've got to kind of walk your way around, and he leads you into another main room.
Carter's just like, man,
it's a very thoughtful layout.
Yeah, this all looks highly flammable.
Yes, and he's just watching you come in. Please come in, and he leads you further in. Sorry, I apologize if I'm flustered. I wasn't expecting visitors, let alone so many. Right this way. And in the next room, there are these like scrolls dangling on strips from the ceiling like flypaper, and they're increasing in numbers the further you get towards the center of this large room. And then there's also a brazier towards the rear of the room near a door where he's going to brazier, like a little, not a fireplace, but like a fire pit in the middle of the room. And it's towards the back top corner of the room, and he goes over there, he lights the brazier, and he grabs a pair of slippers and throws them in. And the second the slippers get in there, they burn really quickly, and the stench fills the room. Oh. And it's
sorry, what was that?
Really overpowering.
Good slippers.
You ask that, but everybody give me a con roll, because the smoke starts to fill the room.
Trust the process, as they say.
Hmm.
I rolled a 55 under 80.
Okay.
I rolled a hard success on con.
Hard success?
I got a hard success as well.
Okay. Straight con. What's the con there, Chief?
Not going to happen. Oh, success. Regular success.
Okay. So you just kind of like, whoa!
What is that?
Yes, I'm sorry. You are...
clearly must be new to our customs. How foolish of me. It's just part of the...
Slippers? Every time?
Process, yes.
Can I roll a cult to know what that is?
Yeah, you could roll a new occult. You could roll on these scrolls. There's a lot going on in here.
58 under 70 to see what burning slippers is.
Yeah, burning slippers.
I'll roll on the scrolls. No.
I will roll on them. I'll roll a cult. I'll spend 1 point of luck to make it a regular success.
Okay. On the... scrolls or the bridge?
Scrolls, let's say. Okay. Let's say this is calling... in the lessons that Walsh has given me, maybe some books on the boat ride over.
Okay, and did you succeed on the roll?
I did.
All right, so you've read of customs of, like, burning slippers to protect infants from spirits that might try to take them from their parents upon birth.
Oh, interesting.
You haven't really heard of it used that much to protect adults. It seems to be something usually you're burning, like, baby slippers as part of a, you know, custom to... say, keep my baby safe. The tiger scrolls, they have, now that you see them, they have like little images of tigers on them. Again, it's the tigers are thought as powerful protectors, particularly against ancient spirits. So every step of the way, there are these wards that are protecting this obviously very superstitious astrologer. Yeah. And the stench in the room is getting overpowering. He's like, I'm sorry, let's go into my new office and we can get away from this stench. And he opens up a door in the rear back of the room here. This way, and he walks towards the back, and there's like a short little staircase up to a door, and he opens the door. He says, please, come in this room here. It's my new office. And so you can walk up that little short flight of stairs and enter this back room.
Protecting infants.
And you look in as you walk in, and it's a very odd-looking room. There's no windows. And the walls have all been covered in black drapes. The back of the door, in fact, that closes inward has been covered in black drapes as well. And they've all been embroidered with stars and constellations. It's a little cheesy, kind of like a beach strip tarot reading situation.
Mm-hmm.
And in the center of this, you know, new office, there's a table and two chairs. And hanging over one of the chairs is a sword whose blade and hilt look to be made from threaded Chinese coins. So it's not like dangerous. It's like maybe another few warding this chair. And he says, who would like to go first? You sit in this chair and the others gather around. And he goes to the other chair on the other side of the table.
Doc, you're used to this.
No, I couldn't possibly.
He's got all these charts and books he's going over. Please, someone sit and the others gather.
All right.
Go for a titting ass. There's a great man.
Please, yeah, okay, show us how it's done.
You don't feel exceptionally flammable right now or anything, right? You feel pretty cool to the touch.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Please, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get my head squared away. What is your name? Others, gather around.
All right. Carter Tillinghast.
Carter Tillinghast.
Of the Massachusetts.
What year were you born?
I just found out it's 1882.
1882, what day?
December 26th, sir.
And he's consulting on his charts, yes. And what month?
December 26th.
He's watching you. What year? And he's scribbling everything into like a grid with a bunch of squares.
1882.
1882. Do you remember what time? What time of day?
I was barely watching it. No, I don't know. My relationship with my parents. We don't have to get into it right now. I don't know the time.
Right. Yes. Very good. And he's looking up at you anxiously. And at a certain point, he stands up and he reaches into his sleeves and he pulls out like fistfuls of cash, drops it on the table in front of you, and then reaches into a pocket and like produces a flame and lights the money on fire.
Oh my.
And he watches you, and then he goes to run for the door.
What?
So now we're in initiative.
What the hell?
Something very, very strange here. Obviously, he's been getting increasingly anxious. He lights stuff on fire
money
here.
Money on fire. Bad business.
That's good
practices.
Money.
Yeah, lights money on fire and makes a run for the door. Now, I will tell you, Feyruz, you have the same dex as he does, and it's the highest dex in the round. What is your combat skill?
This man's old. How old is this guy?
He's like mid-40s.
Oh, okay.
So, brawl?
Yeah, brawl, or, yeah, I would say brawl.
Brawl, 50.
50, all right. So you're going to go first, and here's what I'll tell you you can do. If you want to try and stop him, it's going to be an opposed dex roll.
Okay.
If you want to run out, if you want to do other things, you can. But to try and just stop him from running out, it's a straight up opposed dex roll versus his dex.
Okay. I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to tackle him.
Okay. Give me a dex roll.
Here we go.
Please don't fail me. Please don't fail me. Fuck. 96.
Oh!
What? Your dex is over 50.
It's, yeah, 55.
Okay. Extreme success.
Mm.
So... he runs towards the door.
Excuse me, where are you going?
He pulls a cord that's hanging by the door, pulls it, all of the sheets fall to the ground, and all of the walls are covered in mirrors, including the door that he shuts behind him, locking you in here, all covered with mirrors.
I load my gun.
Yeah, the gun is out.
Gun's out.
Mirrors everywhere on every wall, all different sizes, all different shapes, all covering all of the walls. We're going to stay in initiative order here, and I'm going to try and see a future for this campaign as you tell me what you do. Feyruz has gone, staying in initiative order. It would be Dr. Walsh's turn. You're in a room of mirrors, and you feel just like, really disoriented. Like, you look into the mirrors and, like,
everything starts looking around. What's going on? Where did he go?
And he goes toward the door that he ran through.
Okay.
Immediately, and is trying to, like, open it or find an opening to it.
Okay. So...
but he sees himself, I would assume, in the door. And then the reflection back of himself a million times. Also, the reflection of Vaughn and Carter and, you know, in every direction he looks... is there a handle?
You go to the door. Yeah, there's a door. It's locked. You could try to force it open or try to lockpick it.
He doesn't know how to lockpick it, and he's like, "Let us out, man! This is not a funny joke!"
And he starts slamming against the door. So yeah, he tries to like break through.
Okay, give me a strength roll.
Strength roll. Here we go. That is an extreme success with a 7.
He's Are you not shitting me?
He's not the strongest of guys, but I just rolled a 7!
Yeah.
An extreme strength roll is the only way that you can force that door.
Oh, look at it! You can see it, Robert!
Remember that for pickups! Right.
How do you like your little mirror trap now, LaValle?
So,
holy
you...
shit. Don't taunt him.
No, boy.
Extreme strength roll. You force the door open, and you see Mr. Lung on the other side, and he's looking at you wide-eyed like you're a god. And he's like, no!
What are you doing? What is this all about?
That's his turn.
Carter, what do you do?
Carter is going to spring up. First of all, double checks. Is all the money burnt?
The money is just like, and by the way, you can do other checks that aren't combat or movement related to try and figure out what might be going on here, but when you start doing actual actions that are either combat or movement related, those you only get one of each.
Right. If all the money's burnt, then fuck it.
So yeah, Carter, it's just like,
yeah, god, that's good money. And Carter like gets up and brushes past Marion to get up on the guy and maybe like grab him.
All right, so you run to the guy and try and grab him. All right, go ahead and give me a strength roll to try and overpower him. And he doesn't even fight back. He's just like,
Great, so I don't roll
anything.
Take
that back. Oh. No, his reaction is to immediately fight back.
Okay.
With fire in his eyes.
Oh, no, well, that's different. What I was expecting. I got a 59. I got a regular success.
All right, and he failed. So your intention was to grab him. You grab him.
Hey, what the fuck is going on here, Jack?
Vaughn.
My gun is out now.
Mm-hmm.
It, just according to our map, I was kind of like almost right next to the door he ran through.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was just so shocked and surprised by all this. I was kind of almost like fumbling at my waistband trying to draw it out as he made his way out, as mm-hmm. as Walsh made his incredible, just like through his entire
yeah, I mean, he's a big guy. Yeah, he just
crashing through the door. And then Tillinghast has him in his clutch, and I will swing around the door frame, pistol out. It's like, that's right, you bounder. What in the devil's name are you up to?
And you draw a gun on him.
That's right.
Okay, so you leave the room, draw a gun on him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You, Dr. Walsh, and you, Feyruz, are still in the room. A couple of things are going to happen.
Fuck.
First, both of you give me a pow roll.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Let's put us where we are on the map, because I moved myself out of the room, but that's because I felt like I busted through the door.
Right.
But
so
I'm standing at the door.
Carter's through.
Vaughn's through. Okay. And you guys are kind of on the stairwell, I think, right there. But
we're at the top of the stairs, I guess.
Yeah, you're at the top of the stairs, and he's right there with you.
So I'll go over here, and if you go,
oof.
All right.
I'm not going to mess with this. I'm going to spend 10 points of luck for a regular success.
For a regular success.
I failed. I rolled a 79 over 60, and I will not be spending luck.
Even a regular success is not.
Damn it!
Why didn't you give me the old save it, good buddy? Because I'm looking out for you.
He's not your buddy.
Cruel.
You both lose 5 points of power.
Whoa!
Permanently?
Yes. It's something in this room is draining you, but maybe this is a better room to be in, because Vaughn and Carter, you've got the gun drawn on this guy. Carter, you've got this guy held, and you just hear this sound, this like laughter behind you. This, and you turn and you look, and that little Siamese cat just starts like... and turns into this fucking cat demon that is like 7 feet tall.
What?
Just let him go.
Do I have the ability, like, because they've done something, can I do something?
It's coming back around to you in the initiative order for the second round here. So it says, let him go. It then comes up.
The cat says, let him go?
The cat says, like, let him go. And it comes up and it slashes at Mr. Lung.
At Lung?
Yep.
At Lung?
Yep. Misses. Does it again. Misses. Does it again and hits. And it hits Mr. Lung for 3 points of damage. He's just like, these claws go against it. 3 claw attacks on Mr. Lung. And now it's Mr. Lung's turn. And he's just like, Both of you give me a sanity roll as you see this cat demon.
Here we go.
Fucking shit. I thought we could just play pretend for the whole time we're in.
The whole time you're in New York.
Yeah.
God. All right.
Sanity.
We thought this was going to be the easy part.
Oh,
let's
my God.
Let's just go have fucking let's just have fun get our and fortune. Get our fortunes read.
I succeeded on my sanity roll.
Success!
Can't spend luck.
No.
Okay, I just barely failed.
You lose 1d3. You lose 1d10 sanity.
Oh, my God.
If you lose more than 5 in a pop...
You mean like 9?
Oh! Give me an intelligence roll.
I lost.
Rip.
Well, we'll get to it.
No, let's hear it. Make me feel a little better.
I lost 3 points of sanity.
Oh my God.
My God. Vaughn cannot lose any more sanity.
Give me an intelligence roll that you want to fail. Otherwise,
it's an 80.
If you
that's good.
You're very smart.
I am. Don't let the misspelling of cults fool you. No, I failed. I mean, I succeeded. It's a 6,200.
Oh, you comprehend.
Out of madness. Here, you comprehend the full reality of the other worlds crashing down upon you. I think you release Mr. Lung and you just go to the floor fetal in like catatonic.
Cat-atonic.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah. Strike drops to the ground.
Chilligas, my god, man! And I'm very close to this enormous cat beast. How does the dex order play out?
Well, so now it's Mr. Lung's turn. Mr. Lung, grabs a butcher knife and turns and, goes to slam it into the demon. And he... extreme success.
Wow!
He buries the butcher knife inside this cat demon. It just goes, wham! And the cat demon doesn't even flinch.
On an extreme?
It's now Feyruz's turn.
Oh my god, I imagine it that it's got bat wings, but it's one of those fortune cats that's with the arm that's
you just hear you hear all of this going out there. You know what you're walking into, but it's a dangerous room to stay in. You avert your eyes, just run, stumbling through screens.
I want to try something crazy and I don't know if it's going to work.
Yes.
Feyruz with her gun has been drawn. Feyruz is going to drop to the ground and fire three shots at three mirrors.
Okay.
To see if that fucking does anything, because I don't trust that he just was whoo-hoo, mirrors, and I'm out of here.
It's a small room, okay? You're shooting basically a point-blank range against several things. So instead of taking a penalty die on each of these, you would get a bonus die. They're going to cancel them out.
Cancel each other
out. So it's three firearm shots. You're just shooting at these mirrors.
Feyruz has a 77. Firearm.
Let's go.
Okay.
She rolls an 80 on the first one. I'm going to spend 3 luck to make it.
One success.
Yeah.
Hey, we can do that.
But I thought you couldn't spend luck.
Oh, shit. No. Oh, you're right.
This count as combat?
No, you can spend luck. You can't push combat rolls.
Okay.
You can't spend luck on damage rolls.
Yeah, okay. Right. So, I'm going to spend some luck to make that first one a success.
Okay. One success.
The one just makes it, 75 under 77.
2 successes.
And the third one fails.
Third one fails. Roll 2d6 to see how many mirrors you smash.
Ooh.
2d6.
Mm-hmm.
11.
Whoa. Oh! Wow, huge.
Okay, so, amazing. She just, mirrors start... smashing to the floor, but there's still a lot of mirrors up. Looks like there could be a few dozen mirrors, but you've taken a lot of them out. Maybe.
Yeah, does anything change about our situation?
Does it do anything?
Not really. It's still real bad.
God damn it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you feel like you're on the road to solving this puzzle.
Okay.
But there are multiple enemies, multiple problems. Dr. Walsh.
He was just going to run out of the room, of course, but then he sees Feyruz doing this and knows to trust her judgment.
Yeah. Tear the scrolls!
Is there can I use an action for thought here? Or does that take a whole turn to just sort of do an occult roll?
No, I said you can roll these.
Or something? We've never really done this before. But
yeah, there's idea rolls, which is a straight-up intelligence roll to, get a hint, essentially, about what's going on here. But you want to do an occult roll and have that not be your action, and that's fine.
I just want to see, do I know anything? Should I throw this cash off the table or start breaking mirrors, basically, is kind of what I'm looking at.
Also, right. Scrolls on the wall.
Or is there a way to reverse
the... Are the scrolls on the wall in here?
Scrolls are on the other side in the other room.
These tiger things aren't doing shit.
Just so I'm clear, he pulled a rope and things...
And the drapes all fell to the floor to reveal the mirrors. Walls.
The drapes were
covering the mirrors.
How many mirrors?
It looks like 40 mirrors.
40,
you've broken 11.
11. All right, so maybe break some more mirrors.
I'm thinking an occult roll to, yes, there's the cash, there's the mirrors, but it's like, what? Think about it. Cat comes in with us.
With us.
He immediately... He's like,
he's pissed about the
burns,
cat.
He burns slippers to protect infant protection. Maybe this is maybe this cat is known to, cat demon could kill an infant, right?
Yeah.
And then he runs up here. He brings up a bunch of mirrors and burns cash. What? Mirrors, reflections. We see ourselves. We see each other. Money's not important. I have no idea. So I'm going to roll a cult and see if this all can connect to the cat demon or some way to dismiss it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to spend 3 luck to make it an extreme success.
Okay, to try and understand.
I rolled a 17. I'm going to roll 3 luck to get it to 14.
What could possibly be
which
happening?
Which is an extreme success.
Okay. You walk in. Oh, you open. You knock on the door. Nobody answers. You listen. Someone's in there. You knock again. It knocks the door right open.
And the door's just open.
And he's surprised to see you. And he asks you to come in. He has these warding amulets. Touch these amulets.
Cat runs in.
Watching you. He's like, ah, it's a fucking cat. But he's more focused on you. Lets the cat go in. He's annoyed, but he's focused on you. Touch the amulets. He's watching you. Touch the amulets. Okay, walk this way. You have to walk through this feng shui maze, and he's watching you
the whole
time. He
thinks we're demons, maybe?
Wide-eyed. You do this tiger scrolls. He's watching you do that. He burns the slippers. Nothing happens. So come back here. Come back here. Traps you in a room, and then he gets attacked by this cat that then turns into a demon. So you think he was afraid of being attacked by a demon and thought you were the demons.
Thought we were the demons.
But he fucked himself because he left himself alone with the true demon.
Okay.
But this trap is strong enough to harm you as it has Faerûz and Dr. Walsh.
So we have to get the cat into this room.
Either get the cat into the room or get the fuck out of here.
Well, with Faerûz is shooting the mirrors, so I think it's probably better to, with an extreme success, do I think it's probably better to get the fuck out of here than to try to draw the cat into this room?
You know that Faerûz is going to be stuck in here for another 6 seconds. You should get out of here or try and help Faerûz, but...
But if we blow all the mirrors up, then there's nothing to stop the cat.
Then there's nothing to stop the cat.
Well, he's intimate. That's my question. Will we get anything by getting the cat in here? Probably not, is what I think. We probably have to run.
Maybe
that's my gut on
I
the occult roll.
Run and we try to take the guy with us if we can.
Yeah, but he's in a fetal position, which I don't really know yet, but just talking that out. All right. Okay. Action. Take action. I think Faerûz shoots these things out. He's going to say, Faerûz, it's not going to work. It's not going to do anything. Whatever he's summoned, it's not going to stop it. We have to go. Now!
You want to grab and pull
her out?
He's
going to reach a hand to her and try to pull her. He's not going to leave without her.
Okay. I'm going to say you can pull her out of the room.
Yeah,
okay.
I won't resist.
So he grabs her, pulls her, pushes her, like, from the back, gently down the steps to, like, go ahead of him. And then he's like, just run! Don't look at it!
Okay.
And then I think they might see that Carter is on the floor.
And I've, of course, seen that because it happened right next to me.
Yeah. All right. So that's his turn.
Okay. I'm not going to have you roll against this cat demon just yet. But understand, if you look at this thing in any way, you're going to be subject to this same sanity roll. I think you understand that something's going on here.
And he's just looking at Carter right now.
You just hear these otherworldly voices.
Keep your eyes down. Eyes down.
And it is Carter's turn. So, Carter, you've lost time here. I want you to stay active in the combat, but you just, like, it was just a dream. A horrible nightmare. You just woke up in your bed. That was a dream. That didn't happen. We didn't go there. And then you realize, oh, God, I'm back! And you're on the ground.
The floor.
And you see this, like, 7-foot-tall demon that has feline features. And Mr. Long is just like gushing blood. A butcher knife sticking out of the demon. What do you do?
I think this is Carter's like first bout of madness. Is that what it was? Is that what it's officially called?
Yeah. The first time it's ever happened to you?
Mm-hmm. It happened once in Peru, very briefly, when I like stood and stared at the wall or something. I was like, meh, meh, meh.
I think the lingering effects of this is that you are having trouble distinguishing between, is this a dream? Is this a nightmare or is this reality?
Yeah.
It can't be real. It can't be real.
And therefore, I think since he's gone, he's had the bout, I think, you know, a saner Carter would be like, it's fight time, whatever. But I think it's a full on like self-preservation
flight
situation. Maybe there's a like, try to grab the guy to bring him with us kind of a thing. He's still seeing somebody, like the sort of quote-unquote new Carter, see somebody gushing blood, and I would like to think that even in his most like panicked moment, he's not necessarily the bravest against the monster, but he at least is thinking about this other person. So maybe he tries to like grab, we're at the top of these stairs, so maybe he tries to grab this guy and like just start running down the stairs.
Alright, so you drag this guy towards the middle of the room in the direction of the feng shui. It's slowing you down a little bit, so just like Dr. Walsh dragging Faerûz out, you're dragging this guy down.
Also, hopefully, I mean, there were these things that were like protector scrolls and stuff, right? So I don't know if that's going to help, but get him back into that area.
That's right.
Vaughn.
If I see Tillinghast sort of snap out of his, or just kind of lost in his dream reverie and dragging this man down, then I will snap back into soldier mode and cover their retreat. Are you two behind us? Have you moved? You both moved past
us? We just got out of the room, top of the
just
stairs
got out
with
of the
you.
Room.
Yeah.
Feyru's in front of me. Feyru's, if you want to move out
then I
to the stairs just outside.
Excellent. Then I will say, down the bloody stairs to both of you! And just raise my gun and begin to empty it into this thing as I try to walk backwards down the stairs in the rear of the retreat.
So you just start walking back up. Bah, bah, bah.
Oh. Just walking backwards, just...
That's a covering his ears. Mary's coming to his bye, bye, bye.
So loud for the neighborhood. The neighbors upstairs. Bang, bang, bang. Give me those shots. I'm going to say, are you point blank?
I don't know how I feel as though I am.
All right, so then just straight rolls. No bonus die, no penalty die.
How many shots can I get off at this point?
Three shots.
Three. All right.
Yeah, so normally if you're shooting three shots, each shot has a penalty die. You get a bonus die for being point blank range, so they cancel each other out.
Each of those is a straight roll.
Straight roll, yeah.
Handgun. Mm-hmm. Not a good skill for me.
Here we go.
Fail.
Miss.
Success. Actually, an extreme success.
An extreme success. That is that will do impale damage.
And a regular success.
Wow.
I rolled a 14 and a 3.
Wow. Okay.
Rather than calculate the damage, I'll tell you, not unlike the butcher knife, that first one hits and goes right into him. The second one hits, and it doesn't seem to affect this creature at all.
Right. Do I have to take another sanity penalty for still...
No, thankfully he's maxed out on your sanity.
Okay, that's fine.
Don't worry, it's coming.
Stairs. Down the bloody stairs, damn you.
No, you got steel pentacles right now.
Yes. Steel pentacles.
Steel pentacles. Yes. It's its turn at the top of round three here. I made a slight mistake that Michael corrected me on. It has two attacks in this form that do a lot more damage. So I will roll against Mr. Lung. And let's see what we get. 007, that is a extreme success, and another regular success. So, just for shits and giggles, I'll walk you through the real damage.
Oh my god.
Just rolling Legos back there?
Too many.
Let's go actually just loose Legos?
Too many.
And ends up being over 40 points of damage. This thing comes up and just like puts its claws into Mr. Lung and just
balls.
Yep.
Rips it apart.
Yeah.
Rips him
inside
apart.
Somebody's home.
A beast
inside somebody's home.
Yes.
And
what's taken? Money. It's been burned.
Oh, because they said it was like robberies.
Robbery.
They said it was always robberies. What is going on?
Maybe they were just saying breaking in. I can't remember. But yeah, that's fucked up.
Okay.
It would be Lung's turn. But his lungs are on the floor.
Now I know why he's named that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing. Feyruz. You're on the floor. You hear this melee, but you know if you look, you're going to be subject to
Wacky
Town.
Was I at the top of the stairs?
You're at the top of the stairs. It says, okay. Keep your eyes down. Run!
Keep my eyes
run!
Down. But
run!
In my peripheral, were there the scrolls on the along the side of the staircase?
I think they're downstairs.
No, the scrolls are like to the
they're
north
in the other
middle
room,
of the
like,
large
yeah.
room.
So not where I am.
Yeah.
So is there anything I could just take on the way down?
A broken mirror.
No, I want something. Yeah. Okay, never mind. I'm just going to get out of there.
Okay. So do you like haul ass?
Yes.
Okay. So you, by the way, were holding Mr. Lung. You look back and you're just holding a severed arm.
Yep. Yeah. Jurassic Park.
Dr. Walsh.
Dr. Walsh is just following Feyruz. Like I said, kind of like hand was on her back, and then she sort of outpaced him, and now he's trying to catch up to her. He heard the shots. Bang, bang, bang! It deafens him. But
Crystal.
He just through all the melee, he hears Vaughn just like, run, run! And he's just like keeping his eyes down, his extreme occult role telling him, like, don't look, don't look, don't look. And he just keeps his eyes on the floor. He's kind of looking at the back of Feyruz's heels as she's running.
Yeah, and
he's just following her.
Screaming for Vaughn and Carter to GTFO.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carter.
Yes?
What do you do as you're sitting there holding the severed arm? I'm not going to have you roll more sanity. You're already mad at this moment.
Thanks. So at this point, I've gotten to where, do you think?
I'd say you are right in front of the screens leading back to the entrance hall.
May I make an offer?
Please, Scott.
Just this is just color. That you look down at this arm, lifeless in your hand, and in Carter's mind, not knowing the difference between dream and reality. You just see it.
Fist bump, buddy.
Yeah, Carter like grabs it.
We're all friends. Like,
bumps it and chucks it.
Friendship. A fist of friendship.
Got your back, dog.
Fuck. Where are they? This cat thing has ripped this man apart that mm-hmm. I was holding on to. So I'm imagining I'm closest to the cat monster.
Yeah, you can feel this. They're like, all presence, and they're all running. Now, Dr. Walsh is still at the top of the stairs. I think I skipped you, actually.
No, I ran.
No,
you're right behind.
Yeah, so they're all running out.
And now that the cat has eviscerated this man,
has a butcher knife sticking out of it and two cold bullets.
Does it seem to be like my job is done? Or does it seem like it's now?
It did say.
It said, let him go.
Let him go, yeah.
And then, but only wanted to kill him so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, but now you've attacked him, so that may change.
I didn't do shit to him.
Not you, but your buddy did.
I just met this guy!
I don't know him!
Well, I guess if they're, like, it's not like I can turn around and help. Like, I think he's just, I just continue to run.
Just run.
Just run.
Yeah. I think he's too fucking frazzled.
Vaughn.
Yes, sir?
It's your turn.
Run.
Run. All right, so all of you, run. With your backs to this sound, you just hear this, like, sound. And a little Siamese cat makes its way past you to the door.
My gun shaking in my hand, following it out the door.
And the cat just turns and says, I have no quarrel with you. And bounds off down the street. And we'll see you next week.
Oh my god!
What the fuck?
What is that? Your first selfish horror!
You heard a cat talk. We better
I
start
quit.
Next. You quit! You better start next session by rolling sanity.
On the spot! On the spot!
Join us!
Oh my god.
Come play with us, Danny.
Play with us, Danny.
Forever
and ever and ever.
It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Niche at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself, and see what everybody's talking about when you join The Niche today.
The Old West is an iconic period of American history and full of legendary figures whose names still resonate today, like Jesse James, Billy the Kid, and Butch and Sundance, Sitting Bull, Crazy Horse, and Geronimo, Wyatt Earp, Bat Masterson, and Bass Reeves, Buffalo Bill Cody, Wild Bill Hickok, the Texas Rangers, and many more. Hear all their stories on the Legends of the Old West podcast. We'll take you to Tombstone, Deadwood, and Dodge City, to the plains, mountains, and deserts for battles between the U.S. Army and Native American warriors, to dark corners for the disaster of the Donner Party, and shining summits for achievements like the Transcontinental Railroad. We'll go back to the earliest days of explorers and mountain men and head up through notorious Pinkerton agents and gunmen like Tom Horn. Every episode features narrative writing and cinematic music, and there are hundreds of episodes available to binge. I'm Chris Wimmer. Find Legends of the Old West wherever you're listening now.
Hear the most popular fiction podcast of all time, which the New York Times described as what might occur if David Lynch was a producer at your local radio station. Welcome to Night Vale is a twice-monthly update from a small desert town where the paranormal is real, every conspiracy theory is true, we all have to get on with our lives anyway. Welcome to Night Vale is available wherever you get your podcasts.